to West, pretty much the commuting rail. After that, I have a meeting, 10 or 15 minutes long, with about the budget. But then after that, I'll be available for confessions if anyone wishes to confess. The calendars are in, so if you've ordered one, just order the master mass and we can get your calendar. Our Lady of Good Success Chilean Pie Contest is next Saturday, so it goes on a little support. And then the week after next, so not next Sunday, but the following, December 1st, Mass will be at 10 a.m. So no afternoon Mass, but the Mass in the morning here at 10 a.m. December 1st. The epistle for the sixth Sunday after Epiphany is taken from 1 Thessalonians. Brethren, we give thanks to God for you all, making a remembrance of you in our prayers without ceasing, being mindful of the work of the labor of charity, and of the enduring of the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ before God our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved of God, your election, for our gospel hath not been unto you in word only, but in power also, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much fruitfulness, as you know what manner of men we have been among you for your sakes. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, receiving the word in much tribulation with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were made a pattern to all that believe in Macedonia and in Achaia. For from you was spread abroad the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and in Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith, which is towards God, is God for it, so that we need not speak anything. For they themselves relate of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned from God to idols, to serve you and to God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised up from the dead, Jesus, who hath delivered us from the wrath to come. We stand for the gospel. At that time, Jesus spoke this parable to the multitudes. The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which is the least indeed of all the seeds. But when it is grown up, it is greater than all herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and dwell in the branches thereof. Another parable he spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like to leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, until the whole was leavened. All these things that Jesus spoke in parables to the multitudes, and without parables he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things hidden from the foundation of the world. Thus are the words of today's gospel, as we said. The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. If you're faithful, since yesterday, we had the joy of 6 adult baptisms and an infant baptism all at once, and the reception of a convert. I want to take the opportunity to talk today about baptism. Baptism as our Lord gave it to us. Said that they should go forth baptizing in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, was already a world-shattering, beautiful, and powerful sacrament, taking a fallen man born in sin, and giving him new life, giving him the life of God. The Church, his spouse, has surrounded it, as she has done with all the sacraments, with a beautiful setting and sacramentals to help us receive the sacrament well. And to call down, to grant from the treasury extra graces, so that the ceremony, especially the ceremony for the baptism of an adult, is so rich that I could easily give you a sermon on each part. And there's 15 or 20 parts. So to keep it reasonable length, we'll have to cut it down and focus on a few things. First, the sacrament itself, the core of the sacrament, the pouring of the water, what that does for us. And then this likeness to a grain of mustard seed or to the leaven of today's gospel. And then the cross. So first, this sacrament in itself. Every sacrament is a symbol, is a sign, an effective sign. So we have the sign of smoke. Smoke indicates fire, naturally. Stop sign, we all know what that means. If it didn't say it, we just have to rub out the words, if they missed the color and the shape, we would still know what that means. A sign is something that points to something else, another reality. But with the sacraments, what is, by God's power and His design, what is symbolized is made real by the sign itself. They are signs that do what they indicate. So this baptism indicates washing. It is a symbolical washing. And so by the washing of the forehead, the washing of the soul, clean from its sins, is symbolized. And by God's power, by God's design, that symbol of washing the soul actually affects the washing of the soul. But what exactly do we need to be washed from, especially infants? Even an infant is born in sin. Our race is a guilty race. The very first people that were made, our first parents, Adam and Eve, threw in their lot with the enemies of God. They joined the camp, flew the flag of "I will not serve." And they were cast out of the garden. Cast out. They were. I guess it's not so much that God casting them out of the garden was kind of symbolic. They had already joined the enemy camp. God did not force them into the devil's hands. He just forced them out of the garden. Their souls were already in the possession of the devil. Because anyone in mortal sin belongs to the devil, part of the devil's dominion. That's why there are so many exorcisms. The adult baptism makes the exorcisms a little more impressive than the infant one, which we're more familiar with. Candidates have to step back away from the doors of the church, kneel down and pray an Our Father, and then stand up and receive the sign of the cross on their foreheads from their sponsors, and then from the celebrant, and then an exorcism is performed on them, And then they go back and they do it again, three times. Then there are lots of minor exorcisms as well. Even on an infant, we always is an ally with the devil. We are born into that, into a sinful race. That has to be undone. We have to be taken back, reclaimed by the Church for Christ. But the wash, so that the stain of that sin is washed off by the sacrament. But the other half, the positive half, if you want, of the baptism is missing from the baptisms for how many centuries it's been. Originally, when the way our Lord was baptized, and in the early church, it was done by immersion.
Mom.
They were plunged underneath the water and then drawn back out. And that to symbolize death and rebirth. So that you are dead to the world, dead to the devil and his works and all his pumps. Born again to a new life. The sacrament of baptism is chiefly a sacrament of new life. That's the chief point in the catechism definition. When we were born, when we were conceived, we received natural life from our parents. We received human life, natural life. But then when we were baptized, we received divine life. We received the life of God Himself. God gave His life to us and we live by it. This again is symbolized a little more clearly in the adult baptism. In the baptism of infants, in both, you have an exorcism where the priest breathes into the face of the child and establishes, drives out the devil by the breath of God through the priest. But then, right after that, they are given a breath of life. Reminds us of the breath that God blew into the face of Adam. When he had formed Adam, and then he breathed life into him, so that he would be a living soul. This life that we receive, this supernatural life, gives us the power to act on a supernatural level. That's what life is, right? It's deer season. So you shoot a deer, you track it. It's laying there. You want to know if it's still alive. You prod it to see if you can get it to move. If it can move something, it's still alive. If at least when you look for breathing, or you look for a heartbeat, if you can find movement, even if it's just the movement of breath, it still has life. Power of movement is power of self-movement. It is life. So this supernatural life we have gives us the power to act supernaturally. We have infused into us at baptism the virtues, the supernatural virtues of faith, hope, charity, and then prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance. We are capable of performing supernatural acts. Now, and this brings us to the second point. Baptism, this supernatural life put into us, is like the grain of mustard seed planted in us. it starts out very small. It's real, it's life, but it's not yet mature. It's not yet grown to its full dimensions. When it does grow to its full dimensions, when we become saints, that life is enormous. It takes over everything. Completely changes us. We flourish under the influence of that life. But as yet, just when it's first planted, it's very small. And it takes time and care to make that life grow and flourish. The other image from the gospel today is leaven, yeast. So leaven put into the dough. At first nothing happens. There seems to be no difference. But there is life there that grows and makes the whole thing, the whole dough. Leavens the whole batch. So we must not be impatient with the graces we've received at baptism. Just because we don't feel different afterwards, or we are not yet a saint, does not mean the baptism didn't do anything for you. There's a difference between capacity and facility. So we have the power to act supernaturally. It's not yet easy. It's not a habit. For that, we have to practice. We have to feed the life that we've been given through the Blessed Eucharist, primarily. Receive the spiritual food. We have to exercise that life through a life of prayer and exercise of virtue. We have to strengthen life by receiving the strengthening sacrament, so confirmation means. If the life in us gets weak by sin, or God forbid, is entirely snuffed out, we have to go to confession and have it revived and strengthened. This new life that we receive is something good and precious and supernatural, but something that has to be fed, kept alive, and exercised. Finally, the cross. The ceremonies yesterday filled with crosses. Crosses, crosses, and more crosses. And there's three reasons for this. The cross was given as a protection in the exorcisms. Put the cross on the forehead, and then said to the devil, and speaking to the devil, "Do not dare violate this sign. This one is claimed for Christ. This is marked territory. It does not belong to you anymore. Do not dare pass this sign." It was also given as a symbol that all of the graces that come through baptism, all the sacraments, all the graces that come through baptism come from our Lord Jesus Christ's passion. The cross is the source of this supernatural life. We have in the Apocalypse those singing a new song, following the Lamb about that they were the ones who had washed their robes white as snow in the blood of the Lamb. There's no forgiveness, there's no washing without the shed of blood. But then, in addition, the crosses are meant to be a foreshadowing of our life as Christians, the life of the baptized. Our Lord Jesus Christ referred to his passion as a baptism. said he was looking forward to it. I have a baptism wherewith I am to be baptized, and how I am straitened until it be accomplished. I used to tell the Ephesians, grew up in a pagan culture, we are followers of a crucified God. All their gods out there are powerful, have never suffered a defeat, are gods of war and gods of crying and I don't know what else. Ours is a crucified God, and we cannot follow him but except to Calvary. We must be crucified. The life of a Christian is the life of crosses. Any more than the sergeant who sends his men into battle enjoys seeing them killed, wounded. It's not for the killing and the wounding that he sends them out, so that they can be what he has trained them to be, a soldier without the battle. A soldier cannot get to victory except through battle. Cannot be what they were meant to be without the fight, without the suffering. Our Lord said to himself, should not the Son of Man have suffered and so to enter into his glory? Thank you.